Father, as always, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. Indeed, the light of your countenance. Let it shine upon everyone that's in the room currently, those that will come in later on, those that might even listen through the replays. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that God will give understanding in our hearts on how to receive this blessing. You know, on a continuous basis from the Lord. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Well, the dew of heaven and the light of God's countenance. That's my message this morning. My blessing back to every one of you. Genesis chapter 27. And we're going to get right to it. Genesis 27, Isaac would bless his son Jacob. And here's what he said unto him. You know, he said, therefore, Genesis 27 and 28, therefore God give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, plenty of corn and wine. I turn around and say that blessing to everyone here at this morning. May the Lord God give you the dew of heaven. Hallelujah. And the fatness of the earth. Plenty of corn and wine. Well, whatever it is these days. That was then. Whatever it is this day. You know, just blessing, prosperity, good health, and peace. May the Lord give you these things. And when Isaac blessed Jacob, wow, I'm going to show you what actually happened, how that blessing took a hold of Jacob. Not exactly Jacob taking a hold of it, but a blessing came upon him that his father put upon him. And it was incredible, the things that he did because of the dew of heaven that was upon him. It was a tremendous thing. There's a story in Genesis chapter 30. You may know the story. Well, you know, Jacob, you know, tried to get a wife from Laban, who was kind of his uncle, so to speak. And several years, of course, you know, went by, and he was tricked, you know, tricked into being given not the woman that he actually wanted. You know, first he was given Leah, and then he worked 7 years for that marriage, and that was really not who he wanted. And, you know, he had to work another 7 years for Rebecca. I mean, for Rachel, you know. And, but by the time that, by all of these times, you know, he was just walking and he wasn't really in a good relationship with Laban. But Laban kept changing his wages up and down and tricking him one way or the other to keep, you know, to keep working for him. You know, so let's pick up this story in verse 25. Here's where the story went from verse 25. And it came to pass after Rachel had born Joseph. And Rachel for some time didn't really have a child. And Leah was the one that was having the children. And they were striving together because of that for some reason. You know, sibling rivalry, Leah showing off and she could have children. Sister couldn't have children. And Rachel being so distressed about it and so on and so forth. Anyway, eventually she had her first child, Joseph. She would have Benjamin later on. You know, and at this time, we'll pick up this story here. So when Rachel had born Joseph, this is verse 25 of Genesis 30. It came to pass that Jacob then said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go unto my own place and to my own country, and give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest the service which I have done unto thee." And Laban said unto him, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." Now, before I get into the deep part of, you know, how the dew of heaven walked in the life of Jacob, you know, let's take a look at this. I mean, this man, Laban, is even testifying that God has blessed him, Laban, because of Jacob. Now, that's the dew of heaven. That's the light of God's countenance. That's his favor. And his favor is upon your life. Not only will you be blessed, your children, their children, it's people even around you. You know, what you are, people that you associate with, the blessing just transfers onto them. I mean, Jacob, the blessing that was on Jacob was transferring onto Laban, even though Jacob wasn't happy that Laban was tricking him and keeping him there, you know, longer than he wanted. Nonetheless, the blessing was transferring to Laban. Laban said it here himself, "I know by experience that God has blessed me because of you." And so that was the reason why you kept tricking him. You didn't want him to let him go, you know. And, you know, so then he said, "Okay, fine. Appoint me my wages." He said to Jacob, you know, "Tell me what I will pay you and I will give it." And Jacob said, "Look, you know that I have served you, how your cattle was with me, you know. You had very little when I came, but now, you know, look at your stuff. It has increased to a multitude. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, you know, and now when will I provide for my own house, you know, let me go. I need to go set up my own house, you know." And so he said, "Look, what am I going to give you?" And Jacob said, "Don't give me anything. Now, if you want me, if you really want to insist that I should stay here and you won't let my wives and my children go with me at this time, you know, here's what I will do. One more time, I will serve you. I will keep your flock and I will feed them. But I will pass through the flock today and remove from thence all the speckled and the spotted cattle and all the brown among the sheep and the spotted and the speckled among the goats and such as shall be my hire. And, you know, so shall my righteousness answer for me in the time to come." You know, because when you check through, you know, the flock that's with me, I mean, that's how the people became very rich in those days, is, you know, the amount of cattle they had. You know, like Job, he had 7,000 sheep and these had thousands of oxen and all of these things. You know, this is what they had. And he said, "Look, if you find any with me that's not of these colors that we agreed on, then you'll know that I stole them." And Laban said, "Wow, that's really good." You know, I mean, that seems fair enough. I mean, and this was the colors that Jacob actually picked were the ones that nobody wanted. You know, nobody wanted the spotted, you know, nobody wanted the speckled, you know, nobody wanted the brown. They wanted the, you know, the ones that were really nice, you know, and so on. You know, and single color, you know, such as could be used for offering, for sacrifice, and all of these things. You know, so he said, "Okay, you know, that's good." So that day they separated. You know, he took all the ones that were ring straight. They had all these crooked lines on them. They didn't look good at all. You know, and those were the ones he gave to Jacob. And they were very few. And Jacob said, "That's fine. You know, when we're done and I'm ready to go, if you find anything among my flock that's not of these kind of colors, then you'll know that I stole them." Now, this is very simple. You know, you have those kinds of colors, the nice one, the plain one, the white one, and all of that. And I'll take these ugly ones, you know, and, you know, so it will be my righteousness will speak for me, you know. So, hallelujah. And so they left it like that. But this man, Jacob, that dew of heaven was upon him because his father put a blessing on him. Yeah, put a blessing on him. Well, of course, you know, he stood in the place of Esau, but so be it. Nonetheless, he got that blessing. And here's what he would do. This is amazing. If you've never really considered this story, I want you to consider it today. You know, so Jacob went and, you know, cut down some branches, some trees, some rods, you know, and he just took them and, you know, he made white streaks and different things. He just took his knife and made different, you know, patterns on these rods and so on and so forth, you know, and he went and sat somewhere and watched when the flocks came to drink water and when it was time for them to mate, you know, and when they would do that, he, you know, he just put all these rods that he designed, he put them before the flocks. And when those flocks were mating in front of those rods, they conceived those colors. That's amazing. You know, that's amazing. You know, you go try and see if you can do it. You know, and he put, you know, and all those, every one of those things, you know, those, whether they were lambs, whether they were goats, whether they were sheep, whatever they were, you know, Jacob found a way to make them to bring forth those colors that he put on the rods, you know, and they all turned out. Everything from that point on started to turn out like the ones that they agreed with Laban and Jacob agreed would be Jacob's wages. And so he got all, almost everything turned around in his favor. And Laban would come out there. He would look through Jacob's flock. They kept multiplying, but all he saw were the colors that he agreed to, speckled, you know, the spotted, the ring streaked, and all of these things that he didn't want, which he said, you can have. And those were the ones that were there. And everything, I mean, Jacob just continued to multiply and continue to increase and everything. So finally, Jacob increased exceedingly. Hallelujah. Well, let me read from verse 40. And Jacob did, well, let me put it from verse 39. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring straight, speckled, and spotted. That's what I already told you. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight. When they would bear, then he would put them also among all the other colors, I mean, the colors that he should be his own, and separated the, all, you know, all the flocks, Laban's on one side, he's on one side, and his flock continued to multiply in the same manner over and over again. You know, and my goodness, you know, then it came to pass, went over the stronger cattle. He looked at the cattle too, that wanted to conceive. I mean, when they were in their mating season, he looked at them. If they were really feeble cattle that didn't look like they were strong, he just ignored them. But he looked at the ones that were strong cattle, you know, had really strong bones and everything. You know, and these people were cattle ranchers. They knew what to look for. So he would put the rods before those ones, and they would conceive those same colors again. And his flock continued to increase. Just amazing. And then all the cattle that were feeble, you know, belonged to Laban. And all the cattle that were stronger belonged to Jacob. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, you know, and everything just went his way. And this was the dew of heaven that his father pronounced on him. Now, it's an amazing thing when your father puts a blessing on you, ladies and gentlemen, you know. If your parents are still living, I hope the younger generation will hear this. And if you are at any kind of loggerhead with your parents, don't do it. If you can get them, I don't care whether they are believers or not. If you can get them to put a blessing on you, God will sanction it. More so if they are believers. You know, I raised my children, letting them know that. And they know. Till this day, they are grown. They have their own families and kids. They always come back. And I say, Dad, you know, put a blessing on me for this thing. You know, pray for us for this thing. And they know it. And, you know, every time they submit themselves to that, it's always amazing the victories that come. You know, so it might take a while, but eventually it will come. But this man, the blessing that his father put on him, which he called the dew of heaven. And what is really the dew of heaven? Well, for one thing, because it comes from heaven, it's blessed. For another thing, because it's dew, you know, it brings forth life. You know, so our message today is, may the God of heaven put upon you the dew of heaven. That's the blessing that I want to bless the people with today. And you've seen what he did in the life of Jacob. Not only was, you know, I mean, was he going to be blessed, God will give him strategy of how he will get that blessing. You think that Jacob figured that out all by himself? No. It was the Lord, you know. Why? Because the Lord, because he already saw in a dream. You know, the Lord gave him strategy. He saw it. He saw how things would be, and he enacted it. Remember what I've been saying the last few days. You know, God doesn't start anything until first he finishes the thing. And because he has finished it, he can tell you exactly how it's going to be. You know, and so, you know, he saw it in this dream. He knew what to do, and so on and so forth. And then you read the next chapter, which I won't read, you know. It came to pass that when he was ready to go, you know, there was another quarrel between him and Laban. And Laban said, like, you've stolen all my cattle. He said, I didn't steal anything. I did not steal anything, you know. So, but here's what he told the guy in Genesis 31. He said, look, verse 9, you know. Let me read from verse 7 first. He said, look, you've changed my wages 10 times, you know, and you keep deceiving me and so forth. But God, you know, did not suffer you to hurt me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's important. People may want to do you harm, but God will not allow them, because the dew of heaven will be upon you from today, just like it was upon Jacob. And as I'm going through this, if you are believing it, just be saying amen and claiming it for yourself. Because I pray, Lord, what am I going to do for these people who bless me, you know, with such kind words and prayers and everything. And this is my give back to you today. You know, and I consider myself the spiritual father here in the house. You know, so if Isaac can bless Jacob, I can also bless all of you. Praise God. And it will come to pass. God will honor it. I know it. He will honor it. You know, so I'm putting the dew, I'm asking the dew of heaven upon each one of you today. And so Jacob will tell the man, say, look, in verse 9 of Genesis 31, God took away your cattle of your father, because even Rachel was thinking, what happened here? You know. And he said, look, God took away the cattle of your father and gave it to me, you know. And he said, look, because I saw it in a dream. See, told him that, to her and everybody else. I saw it in a dream in verse 10. So God showed him. Now, let me emphasize this also. The way, the blessing and the favor of God. I'm going to come to the light of his countenance in a minute. But the way the blessing and the favor of God works, it works by God giving you strategy. And that's how it works. God will give you superior knowledge that will give you an advantage. You will just know things that somebody else doesn't know. And you will get understanding of how to do something. You know, that's the dew of heaven coming straight from heaven upon you. And I'm praying for everyone that's in this room today, if your heart is open to receive it, that God will deposit upon your life that dew of heaven. It will just be coming down upon you like that. coming down upon you, coming down upon you. It's in exact measure. It's not torrential rain that will destroy the flocks. I mean, the vegetation and the, you know, the trees and so on. No. You know, or the plants. It's not going to do that. It comes down. It's perfectly, engineered from God to bring the blessing. Hallelujah. And God will put it upon your life. Hallelujah. Some of you already had it, but if you didn't, you're getting it beginning today. And even if you had it, you know, and it's been kind of yo-yo, no more of that. God will put it on you today, and it'll keep coming upon you. That's my prayer for everyone that's in this room today. And, you know, no matter what Laban tried, he actually did try to cheat this man many times. But God gave him a way out of it, and he came out on top. Ladies and gentlemen, let me freely declare unto you today that if you find yourself in a situation where your business partners or whomever or somebody you work for and so forth, they're trying to cheat you of your wages or whatever like that, you turn it into the hands of God. And I'm putting on you today, by the grace of God, this dew of heaven that will change everything. God will give you strategy, you know, like Jacob. Nobody has ever done this before. He was a trailblazer. You know, it has not been said. I mean, we knew that Adam had power over the animals. We knew that Noah had power over the animals. But we've never heard that anybody determined how, you know, when the flock calved, what they will bring forth, what colors they would. We've never heard it. But Jacob did it anyhow, because God gave him strategy in a dream, and he figured it out, you know, and he did it. It was amazing, and he changed the wealth, you know. Laban was a very rich man, was wealthy, but he wasn't fair, you know, and because he tricked this man, and he wasn't fair. I mean, 7 years, worked for me for 7 years for, you know, one of my daughters, okay? Jacob was willing to do that, but first, it wasn't even the one that he really wanted. And he tricked him. And I said, you got to walk for another 7 years. Well, and the Bible says, well, okay, fine. Jacob did this thing because of the love he had for Rachel. And those 7 years passed so quickly. And then at the end of at the end of 14 years now, like, look, give me my wives and my kids and let me go. And the man said, no. And you just all try to tie him down. Now, however your current situation reflects any of that, you know, however the devil is trying to hold down your blessings, however, you know, the sons of unrighteousness and the wickedness of people trying to take from you that which is yours, whatever, you know, flavor your story has, today, by the dew of heaven coming upon you, it's all going to start to turn out differently. God will shift things in your favor now. That's what the dew of heaven does. Well, let me go quickly to the light of his countenance. Oh, my goodness. And when you combine these two things, you combine the dew of heaven with the light of God's countenance, it's amazing. The light of God's countenance was upon a man that was called Joseph. It was upon him. And everywhere he went, even when he was sold into slavery, there was a blessing still upon him. Now let's pick up this story in Genesis chapter 39. And let's read the first 6 verses. So his brothers, you know the story, they had sold him into Egypt and so forth. I'm not going to tell that part of the story. But here he arrives in Egypt, Genesis 39 verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So he bought him for a price. He was a slave man, a slave boy, really. So But the Lord was with Joseph. And God made him a prosperous man. So the light of his countenance was upon him. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, Potiphar. And when his master saw, and this Egyptian, he didn't know anything about the Lord, but he saw there was something. I mean, everything, I mean, it was like anything that this guy touched turned to gold, so to speak. I mean, it was like whatever he did flourished. When they put him in charge of a little family business, you know, watch over this thing, the thing flourished. They put him over here, the thing flourished. Whatever he did, the thing flourished. Better than all the others who are with him. And so this man began to say, there's something with this guy. There is something with this guy. And he said, look, I know there is something in you. So, you know, he made him, you know, he said, look, when the master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord had made him, you know, that all he did to prosper in his hand, this was Potiphar's business that was prospering in the hands of Joseph. It wasn't Joseph's business. Joseph was just put there, you know, to serve there. But as soon as he got there, everything was changing. Things were just prospering and so on and so forth. This man noticed that and said, look, because of that, he promoted him over everything that he had in his house. Now, when these people say house, that means their estate. You know, everything he had in his estate, he promoted him over that. And Joseph, because of him, everything just flourished in the house of Potiphar. It was amazing. You know, now listen to this. And it came to pass, this is verse 5 of Genesis 39. It came to pass that from the time that Potiphar had made Joseph overseer over his estate, and I'm reading from King James, but I'm translating some of those words, you know, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left everything that he had in Joseph's hand. He didn't even know what was coming in, what was going out. He just trusted everything into Joseph. I mean, it was an amazing turnaround for his life. Now, maybe he was doing well, but not as well as he did once he put Joseph there. At first, he didn't put Joseph there to be in charge. He just put Joseph to do some things. You know, but as Joseph was doing those things, everything was just, it was just amazing what was happening. You know, and there are some people that have these things upon them. It just so happens. You know, I remember when I was a young man growing up, I was still a boy then. My mom had some small stores that she sold some, you know, petty things, you know, and so forth. You know, in Nigeria back then, it had this thing and so forth. She sold these things, soft drinks, these, a few things that people would come around. I was in the neighborhood. I mean, it was actually part of the house. She converted the garage to her store and people came. And I don't know what she knew, but one day, you know, I bought something from her early in the morning. I just said, hey, let me come here and just buy something. And, you know, she said, oh, really? I said, yeah. And then as soon as I bought something, that whole day, it was like she didn't have enough to sell. Everybody was just coming and buying stuff. And then I didn't know. I didn't think anything about it. You know, then she came to me and said, you know what? In my language, you know, she calls it, I'm just going to say it in the Yoruba language and I will translate it. Those of you who are Yoruba, you may know it. She said, Owo Aje, you know, which means, the Lord has put in my hand something that makes things to just flourish. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. He said, yeah. So he said, come in the morning and be the first to buy something from me. And every time I did that, that day was like, I mean, just a great day for her in her sales. I didn't know anything, but I didn't actually make anything out of it. I mean, I just did it because she said she wanted me to do it. I was like, okay, fine. You know, that's what you want. I'll do it. you know, and she would even give me the money to come and buy the thing, you know, because she recognized that. It was kind of like this Potiphar man. He recognized something. And I tell you what, many years later, you know, that thing, you know, experience and encounter and story of my life with my mom would come back to me, you know, and I would say, oh, maybe the Lord has actually put a blessing upon me that if I bless somebody or do something, maybe something will happen. You know, and I began to understand some things, and actually it was so. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, when you have that dew of heaven upon you, or you have, and or you have the light of his countenance, same thing. It's amazing. Well, let's see some more things about the light of a God's countenance. You know, there is a prayer here, which many of you know, a lot of people pray this prayer in Numbers chapter 6. It's a nice blessing. You know, in fact, you know, this song that we played at the beginning, that's framed out of that. Numbers, let's read Numbers chapter 6, and let's read it from verse 24. You know, and, you know, it's a nice blessing. I'll give you a little background. The Lord spake unto Moses, you know, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, on this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now, this was instruction from God, how to bless God's people. Now, I have permission today from the Holy Spirit to bless you the same way. Hallelujah. Because many of you blessed me yesterday, just saying good things over me, pouring so much love and prayers over me. So, well, it's my turn. You know, so this is the instruction that the Lord gave them. This is how you bless my people. Say to them, the Lord bless thee. Now, this is the Lord giving them instruction of how to bless his people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Amen. Now, you can say amen to that as I'm praying this prayer for you today. For every one of you that's in this room today, you don't need to raise your hand today. I'm releasing it over everybody that's in the room. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. Hallelujah. And he said, look, put my name upon the children of Israel. The other day, I mean, yesterday I talked about the name of the Lord. Put my name upon them and I will bless them. Now let's look at the elements of this prayer. This is God commanding them that bless my people this way. You know, many of us say this, repeat this, but we probably don't even know that it was God that commanded them to do it that way. You know, bless them this way. Say to them, the Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. Now, why? Well, you know, everybody needs the Lord's blessing. But today I say to you, not only the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you, for the blessing of the Lord that he will give you, here's what I say to you as well, because it is found also in the scriptures on record that the blessing of the Lord, according to Proverbs chapter 10 and 22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. So this blessing that we are blessing you with today will make you rich in all things, and it would add no sorrow. Now, whenever there is sorrow coming from something that's supposed to be a blessing from the Lord, you can push back with this scripture and say, for it is written. You see, this is how Jesus did it. For it is written. And you can do the same thing. For it is written, that the blessing of the Lord will make me rich. Myself, my spouse, my children, and their children. And there can be no sorrow added to it. You know, look, the word of God is so powerful, but it takes simplicity. Jesus took a child and sat in the midst of them. And he said, look, except ye all be converted and become like this little child, you won't even smell anything in the kingdom. You know, what does that mean? Well, these little children, it's a simplicity. They just believe. If you promise them something, they just believe it. They won't turn loose. You better don't promise those kids anything because they're going to hold you to it. He said, but you said, you know, so, you know, God wants us to just be like that. You know, I've been trying to leave a legacy for my kids. They picked it up. It's good. Wherever I get an opportunity to minister to people, I try to also leave them this legacy of faith. Just believe God. It's just amazing. You know, when you practice faith long enough, it becomes, you know, just your way of life. Praise God. The same thing as practicing righteousness, practicing the things of God, becomes a way of life. You know, we don't have to struggle with sin anymore because you practice righteousness. It becomes your second nature. You practice faith so long, it becomes second nature to you. You don't even doubt God anymore. Well, there's going to be opportunity for you to doubt, but you have to remember his word. Hallelujah. So the blessing of the Lord for you will make you rich and add no sorrow. And when you're asking God to bless you, be specific. Also teach people that. Because he has already blessed you with everything in heavenly places. He's already done it. Because now we're on the other side of the new covenant. I talked about the covenant a few days ago. We're on the other side of that. So be specific. What do you want him to do for you? Well, just like Laban said, well, appoint me my wages and I'll give it to you. Okay. Well, the Lord is saying, ask me what you want and I'll do it for you. All right. Well, ask him then. You know, ask him then. What do you want the Lord to do for you? You know, Jesus told his disciples, said, look, hitherto you've asked me nothing. Well, that was then. You ask me and it shall be done. He was encouraging them to ask. Now, God is not a teaser, folks, you know, that will dangle something in front of you, and then when you want to get it, he pull it out away, and then dangle it again. Yeah, come get it, you know, and then pull it away. No, he doesn't do that. You know, what he means, he says, and what he says, he means. God wouldn't be asking us or telling us or encouraging us or admonishing us to ask for something if he didn't intend to give it to us. If he just wanted to play whatever trick on us. God doesn't do that. You know, so when he asked you or when he told us to ask, that's because he's going to give it. Otherwise, he wouldn't tell you. If you frame your mind that way, you'll find that you'll be blessed more and more and more. So the Lord bless you and keep you. Praise the Lord. That's my prayer for you today. Now, keep you also means keep you in all your ways. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now, that's not some of your ways. That's all of your ways. And all of your ways means all of your ways. That means no matter where you're going, no matter where you're traveling to, no matter what you're doing, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You can read that in Psalm 91 and verse 11. And they shall bear you up. So keep you in all your ways. So the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. And Jesus himself, didn't he not pray that same prayer for us. Some of you have heard me refer to it multiple times, but since it goes along with this message today, let me refer to it again today, because he prayed for it in John chapter 17, verse 15. I'm praying to the Father for you. Say, Father, I pray now that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Now, Jesus already prayed that prayer for you. I mean, let me ask you this question. Do you think that the Father heard or even answered that prayer? I mean, did Jesus, you know, earn the right through his obedience and all, even from the Father, to ask anything of the Father, and the Father will do it? If the answer is yes, and I tell you that's a resounding yes, I tell you that Jesus already prayed this prayer for you. It's a done deal. Hallelujah. He will keep you from the evil. So, you know, I'm breaking down the elements of this prayer in numbers, and we are looking at it to see, because that's how God told them to pray. So going back to Numbers chapter 6, as we break down the elements of the blessing, this is, you know, we're going to get to something about his countenance in a minute. But look at all the things that God has already pronounced and told them that this is how you bless my people. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Did you know that the Bible says that, you know, the Lord spoke, you know, and it stood fast. He commanded and it's done. I mean, all the things, the sun and the moon, they looked to him and they were enlightened. I mean, that's how the sun gets its light. It's by looking to the Lord till this day. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, the face of the Lord is light. In fact, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ be coming upon you today. It's my blessing, my prayer for you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord never turn his face away from you. When the Lord, there's an expression that Israel used to have. Well, you know, don't turn your face away from me. They used to say, you know, psalmists who pray that prayer, they would, you know, hide not thy face from thy servant, O God, and so on. You know, but here, you know, is a positive side of that. The Lord is saying that the Lord will make his face to shine upon you. Hallelujah. The Lord will also give you peace. Wow. Did not Jesus say in John chapter 14 and verse 27, you know, that, you know, my peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, but I give it to you anyway. You know, he said that. And that we should not be troubled over many things, because he's giving us a peace that the world cannot take away. No matter what's going on, the world can't take that away from you. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Praise the Lord. You know, so this is part of my prayer for you today. And talking about peace, here's another good one. Now, he said, the God of peace himself in 2 Thessalonians, you know, chapter 3 and verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself, which he commanded Moses to command Aaron to bless his people like that. And he said, you know, the Lord give you peace. Well, yes, and Jesus himself said it. Yes, this is more than two or three. By the mouth of two or three, let everything be established. Peace is so important. This is how Jesus himself said, I'm going to give you peace. Not the world's kind of peace, but don't worry about anything. You got my peace. And now in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 16, on this subject of peace, the Lord of peace himself grant you peace always, by all means, whatever it takes for you to have peace and the Lord be with you all, he said. I mean, now, you know, it's not very often that we see, you know, such a statement in the Bible that God will do something for you by all means. But it says it right here. Peace is so important. And ladies and gentlemen, peace is not necessarily only the absence of trouble. And that's one kind of peace. Absence of war, absence of trouble, when everything is calm, when everything is, you know, quiesced and there's tranquility everywhere. Well, that's one definition of peace. However, God's peace is regardless of the situation. Even in the eye of the storm, in the middle of the storm, you can have peace and be in the back of the boat sleeping because you have peace. Praise the Lord. And that's his peace. If in spite of the problems, peace that passes understanding. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. I mean, it passes understanding because people say, how can you be so calm in the midst of all these things? Cataclysmic upheavals, everything blowing up around you. I mean, all hell breaking loose, yet you have peace. That's why it's called peace that passes understanding, because nobody can understand that. But Jesus already said it. You know, look, the kind of peace I give to you, you can't find it in the world, but I'm going to give it to you, and let not your heart be troubled. That's his kind of peace. And he gives it to you by all means. Now, this is my prayer for you, your children, and their children. Hallelujah. Peace in your homes. Peace in your relationships. Peace in your marriages. Peace in your business. Peace in everything. Just have peace. Look, and because of the blessing of the Lord, this peace, you know, God will extend it to you like a river. Peace like a river. Peace like a river. It's just quietness, you know, quietness and peace. And God will make sure that you have it. Because he says, you know, how does he put it now? He said, look, by all means. By all means. When a man's ways please the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. He maketh even your enemies to be at peace with you. That's part of the by all means. And these are people that would not be at peace with you. I mean, they will go to the ends of the earth to make life difficult for you. But God has a way that to shut them up at the end of the day, just like God shut up Laban. You know, at the end of the day, God changes everything in your favor. Praise the Lord. Now, let me quickly bring a few more scriptures about the light of his countenance. Isaiah chapter 44. And verse 3, recounting, let's say Isaiah 44, and then to say Psalm 44, recounting the blessing of the Lord and how God gave the children of Israel a victory, you know, in all their journeys and all their fights and the various things that they did and how they got it. Psalm 44 is what I meant to say. I say Isaiah initially. Psalm 44 and verse 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither their own arm saved them, but thy right hand and thy arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. That's it. The light of the countenance is what brings favor. When his face shines upon you, when he puts the light of his countenance upon you, his favor will be with you. Praise the Lord. His favor will be with you. And the Lord is commanding his favor and his goodness upon you today, to yours, to your children, and their children after them. In the name of Jesus. Now let me read a couple more blessings to you real quickly here. you know, as we round this up. Let's read Psalm 89 and verse 15. We're talking about the Lord blessing you. And if you think that the Lord is the King of all kings, well, then let's see what he says about this verse right here in Psalm 89 and verse 15. You know, blessed is the people that do know the joyful sound. You know, said, look, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. It will bring them joy, it will bring them goodness, you know, all around, no matter, you know, where and what's going on. It'll be there for you. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5. This is the one that brings it together as, you know, this blessing coming to you from the King. Praise God. You know, so I think I got the wrong verse here. Okay, 15, I said what I meant to say, not verse 5. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 15. In the light of the King's countenance, his life and his favor, so the cloud of the latter rain. Now, the farmers and everything in those days, they always waited for the latter rain, which was the harvesting rain. There's the planting rain, which is the early rain, and the harvest rain. And if the harvest rain doesn't come, they're not going to have too much of a harvest that year. You know, so God's favor is like the moment they see that cloud, ooh, just like Elijah, when he finally saw that cloud, his servant finally did, he said, that's it. You know, when they see that cloud of latter rain, they waited months, they did the planting, and then they're doing and waiting for that rain to finish it up, and it's not coming. Oh, the moment that cloud shows up, there's rejoicing. You know, there is a preparation, you know, there's a mobilization, getting ready for the harvest. Praise the Lord. So in the light of the King's countenance that he is putting upon you today is going to be your very life. Wrap around it. His favor will be upon you like the cloud of the latter rain that brings forth the harvesting of good things for you in your life. Praise the Lord. Now let's see how David encouraged himself, Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11, and also Psalm 43, verse 5, says the same thing. When he was down, when his soul was heavy, there were many things going on around him, he encouraged himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He said, why art thou disquieted within me? How come you have no rest and no peace? Why is your tranquility removed? And why are you troubled? You know, I shall yet praise him. Hoping God, he said to himself, but I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. When the Lord shines, causes his face to shine upon you, even the dark clouds will be parted. Hallelujah. The dark, the heaviness, the heavy dark clouds will be moved back. The rays of his face shining will come upon you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He said that in verse 5 of Psalm 42. You know, he said it also in verse 11 of the same place. He said, when I'm cast down, I will remember the Lord, like from the land of Jordan and so forth. You know. Then he said it also in Psalm, 43 and verse 5. Multiple times he says the same thing. And he always says, why thou cast down? Why thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. He's the health of my countenance, and he is my God. Last but not the least, I want to leave you this scripture, this blessing today. You know, Psalm 90, verses 16 and 17. This is my prayer for every one of you that's in the room today. Praise the Lord. And it all lines up with that Numbers 4 prayer. Numbers 6, 24 to 26 prayer. And this one, you declare it for yourself. It says, let thy work Psalm 90 and verse 16. Appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God, you know, that's when you see the shining face. Let his beauty and the light of his countenance, let it be upon us. And establish thou, O Lord, the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Well, let me turn it around into a blessing and a prayer for you. You know, let the work of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord appear unto you. Everything the Lord does is beautiful. Let it appear unto you. It will appear because God will give you the ability to see it and discern it. It will give you an understanding of strategy, how to get it. You know, and let the beauty. Now, remember, we spoke about the word let a few days ago. Let is something that, you know, it's already done, but God was causing it to appear. Like the here, it said, let thy work, you know, appear. You know, and let the beauty of the Lord our God, let his face shine upon you, and let the light of his countenance be upon you. Let the dew of heaven be upon you, and let the Lord establish the work of your hands, and may he indeed truly establish it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So that's going to be my blessing for everyone in the room today. You know, I kind of turned that around into a prayer and a blessing at the same time. And that's my heart to you today. And if you could see, truly see inside my heart, you would know that that's for real. You know, I pray the Lord bless every one of you that's in the room today. Now, whatever it is that you're facing, your Red Sea moments, you know, that you will face from time to time this year. We've talked about that multiple times. You may be facing one now. Your Goliath, whatever it is, you may be facing one now. Whatever those nations are, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, and all these things, you know, that will not let you pass through. We've already covered that. You know, today, hallelujah. May the Lord begin to cause a shift for you in Jesus' name. Let the dew of heaven be upon you like it was on Jacob. I gave him tremendous insight, even into the things of creation, to cause the carving of those sheep and lamb and goats come out to his own advantage. Hallelujah. May the Lord put upon you that kind of favor that was upon Joseph. That everywhere he went, whatever he turned, his heart turned, it was like turned to gold. Even in prison, he was made to become the head of the prisoners. And it was because of the favor of God upon him that gave him access to all the prisoners. Most of the prisoners were confined to their own space. They couldn't go around talking to everybody else. But Joseph, because of the favor that was upon him, they made him head of the prisoners. And he had the ability to go to each of them, to go around to them, you know, and so forth. And it was that favor that was upon him that gave him access to the baker and the butler. And eventually led him to tremendous things. May the favor of God be upon you. And may the light of his countenance be upon you. And may God give you peace and rest. Behold, I send my angel before thee to lead thee in the way that you should go. And I will give you rest. Glory to God. Rest. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord grant you rest. You know, that means, you know, you have calm, you have peace. Hallelujah. In the words of a noted prophet, the man named Frisbee years ago, he said, you know, a new anointing coming to bring calm and rest to God's people at the end of the age. Hallelujah. May that anointing that I know is present here in this room, may it bring you calm and rest all your days in the name of Jesus. And remember, He will give you peace by all means. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all the people that are here this morning that have listened to this. Hallelujah. And as they go, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord go before you. Hallelujah. The Lord cause His angel to go before you, to bring you, protect you along the way, and to bring you to the place that I have prepared, saith the Lord. And if you shall believe this message, then the angel of the Lord will be with you and keep you and protect you until the Lord returns. And that was another prophecy that was given by Neil Frisbee. And some of you say, who is it? Well, he was my pastor for many years. He's passed on now. And he said, you know, the Lord said through him, for those that believe this message, the angel of the Lord will be with you, protect you until I come, saith the Lord. And I've held on to those words, and it's never failed. The angel of the Lord is with me. And now I pronounce the same blessing upon you. The angel of the Lord be with you. Even as He said in Exodus 23, I am sending my angel to go before you, and he will bring you peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your blessing upon your people. Thank you for your peace upon them. Thank you for the dew of heaven upon them. Thank you for the light of your countenance that is risen up upon them. Thank you for your face that's shining upon them. And thank you because you're going to give them peace by all means necessary going forward. Now the Lord cause you to flourish on the left and on the right. The Lord cause His goodness to pass before you, His mercy to accompany you. The Lord be gracious upon you at all times. The Lord lift up His countenance over you. Hallelujah. Cause His face to shine upon you. Give you peace by all means. You, your children, and their children after them. Hallelujah. And may the dew of heaven cause all things to flourish in your lives. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.